Good day to you. I'm Don Curtis. I'm glad to be with you once again. I hope today that I can bring a message that will be of help to somebody and maybe everybody. I know there's lots of people out there that are listening, and a lot of them are lost and without God, and there's no question to me that that's the case. So I try over and over and over in some way from the Word of God to bring a message that will help you to find the Lord, find peace to your soul, find heartfelt salvation that you can know about for yourself. You know, there's all kinds of things in the world that people are telling us, but real salvation is something you can know about for yourself, and you can tell others. They don't have to tell you. When you get saved, you'll know it. You need direction, and you need to know that there is a way to get saved. So we invite you to listen to us at this station, and we want to help you, and we want you to know the Lord. We're not asking you for anything. All we want to do is to bring you the gospel. We've never asked anybody for anything. We just want to deliver the gospel to the world and hear of lost sinners being saved. And if you get saved, let us know. Write us and let us know that you've been saved by God's grace. We love to hear that. And we want to know that God is using us and helping lost people to find Him. Today, as I bring you a message, I want to talk to you about rejoicing in heaven. That'll be my subject today, rejoicing in heaven. I want to read some scriptures from Luke chapter 15, verse 4, here to begin with. We'll begin with verse 4. Jesus is speaking, and he's given a parable. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that he which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, and saith unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Did you know that God rejoices in heaven right before his angels? He rejoices every time that a lost sinner is found. Every time that a lost sinner comes to God truly repenting, he rejoices over every sinner, over just one sinner. He rejoices over that, according to Jesus here. He rejoices when a lost soul realizes their condition and humbly comes to him for pardon, seeking their soul salvation. God not only saves them, but friends, God is rejoicing before the angels that another sinner has come home. What a blessing it is to know that God loves us that much, and God rejoices when we humble our hearts, when we see ourselves as a lost sinner and need the salvation of our soul, humbly repent toward him, he pardons us. What a wonderful thing. What a joy it is to know that God loves us that much. He gives us another parable right following that, beginning with the 8th verse of Luke 15. He says, "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, and she loses one piece, doth not light a candle, sweep the house, and seek diligence till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." He says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Did you get that? That there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. God is rejoicing in the presence of His holy, holy angels over every sinner that repents. Every time a lost sinner comes home. Can you just imagine a woman that that has a hard time in this world, and she has 10 coins, and they have to do with her livelihood, and she loses one of them. She is troubled over that, and she gets a light, and she starts searching and sweeping, and when she finds it, oh, she is happy about that, because it's going to be a help for her. It's between eating and going without food, or for her children, maybe. It's important for people to have their livelihood, and she would rejoice when she found it. Well, Jesus said, it's just like that with God. That's what He is teaching us, that God, every time a sinner repents and comes home to Him, God is rejoicing before His holy angels. He is rejoicing in the presence of the angels every time a lost sinner truly repents toward Him and trusts in the Lord Jesus for soul's salvation. If you go just a little farther, you get into the parable of the lost son. You know, he's talking about a lost sheep. Jesus is talking about a lost sheep, a lost lamb that strayed away. Went out there, and the shepherd left his 99 in the fold there, and he went out seeking and searching and hunting for that one lost lamb. And when he finds it, he comes home rejoicing. Well, God is talking about here, the Lord Jesus is talking about another lost son. All of us are like lost sons that's gone astray. In this parable, the younger son, the man had two sons, and the younger son asked for his inheritance, his livelihood, and the father gave it to him. And Jesus said, this young man, he just went out there in the world, and he began to spend his inheritance, and he spent it in riotous living for the devil rather than God. He just out there in the world, and he spent all. And after he had spent all, a famine hit the land. And you know, this young man was in trouble. He was in trouble, and he attached himself to a farmer, and the farmer had him feeding the swine, the hogs, down there in the hog pen. And Jesus even said this man was so bad of shape, that if he could, he would have ate with the hogs. But he couldn't eat what these hogs were eating. He couldn't eat that, but he would have if he could, because of his hunger. This young man was in a terrible shape. And down there in the hog pen, so to speak, this young man came to himself. He realized what he had done. He realized he spent his inheritance just bloated away. He realized that now he's in poverty. He realized that he's in hunger. And he remembered the father's house. He remembered how he had it made in the father's house. He was the father's son, and he come to his senses down there. He said, I will go into my father, and I'll say to my father, Father, just make me a hard servant. I'm not worthy to be your son. You know, and this is what every lost soul needs to do. They need to realize their condition, their lost condition without God. They need to realize that they're are going to die without God, that they're going to a devil's hell. They need to realize that. This young man realized what had happened to him, and he'd been the whole problem. He'd been his own problem. And friend, if you're lost and undone without God, you're your own problem. We all have inherited a wicked nature from Adam, and so we transgress God's law. But we need to hear what God says unto us, and we need to know that Jesus is coming to the world to seek and to save sinners. And I'm telling you, when a sinner is found, there is rejoicing in heaven. This young man, you know, he saw his condition down there, and he was in a terrible condition. But I'll just go back to my father and say, Father, I'm not worthy to be your son, but just make me a hired servant. And so he starts on his way home. And out there before he gets home, his father sees his son coming. And oh, his father is rejoicing. I tell you, when God sees a lost sinner coming toward heaven's throne, God is rejoicing in heaven. Don't you know that it's a wonderful thing to God the Father when a lost sinner, one of his created men, women, boys or girls, turn from sin, turn to him. God saw every sinner. He sees them coming and he meets them. Oh, he'll meet you when you humble your heart and you when you get into trouble, when you see yourself as you are, when you get hapless and you need the Lord, you turn to the Lord, and he will meet you, and he'll be rejoicing to do so. He'll be rejoicing because another sinner has come home. That father in the parable saw his son, and he goes out there, and he meets him, and he is happy. His son that had was lost is gone, and he said he's dead. Yeah, it's just like he's dead. He's gone. He's in another country. He lost his son to the world, and to him it was just like he's dead. I tell you, when we come to the point in our life that we know what sin is, we're separated from God, and we are dead. We're said by the Scriptures to be dead in trespasses and sin. But I tell you what, you can come to the Lord Jesus, and you can be made alive unto God, be made alive, and be one of God's children, not one of the devil's. Oh, God loves us. He loves us, and he rejoices when he sees the lost sinner coming home. Oh, the young said that to his father. He told his father, but the father met him, and the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and alive again, he was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Oh, the father and his servants and they were merry and they were rejoicing because this young son that went out there and just left the father and lit it up in the world and wasted his substance, but he had seen his wrong. He understood his wrong and he came to the father, and the father rejoiced to see him coming, and he met him. I tell you, lost friend, you're out there in the world. You're a sinner, you're separated from God, you're lost, and you're just like you were dead to God. But friend, if you'll humbly repent of your sins, if you will really, really see yourself as you are, if you'll see just how lost you are, if you can see just how helpless you are, like this young man down there in the hog pen, if you can get that helpless and see that you need God, and if you will humbly turn to the Lord God, he will rejoice to see you coming. And the scripture said, Jesus said, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. You know, it's amazing what God has done for us and all that he has done. But I tell you, God loves us. He loves us the uttermost, and he has done all. Oh, when we look at Isaiah 53, and in Isaiah, boy, he just tells us how plain, a long time before Jesus made the world, he's prophesying the coming of Jesus, and he just tells how bad it was for Jesus. This is how bad that God wanted us saved. You know, the scripture said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If God loved you enough to give his only begotten Son, is it any wonder that he would rejoice When you make it back to Him, when you turn to Him truly repenting, is it any wonder that He would rejoice? Surely He would rejoice. Here is some things that Isaiah said about Jesus. Jesus, he said, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep, the prophet says, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before His shears is dumb, so opened is not His mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who shall declare His generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was He stricken. He made His grave with the wicked, with the rich in His death, because He had no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Oh, God gave His Son. And Jesus went through all of these things that we could be saved. Why would it be a great surprise to a lost soul if he really believes that Jesus came and suffered like this, that God gave His Son like this? Why would it be any great problem for a lost sinner to see that there'd be rejoicing in heaven when that sinner repented? There is rejoicing in heaven when our sinner repents. God also loved the world that He gave Jesus. He let Him do all of the suffering because He loved us. He loved us and gave the utmost. Paul said, thank God for His unspeakable gift. To give His Son for us is just unspeakable. That means we can't describe the great thing, the great gift that God did. I've tried all of my ministry to describe it, but I can't near describe it like it ought to be done. God gave us the great gift of His Son. Jesus died at Calvary that we could go free. Why would it be a surprise to us then that there is rejoicing in the presence of angels by God Almighty when a lost soul comes home, when a lost soul repents of their sin? You know, Jesus established His church in the world. He came to the world, and before He died at Calvary, He died for it. He established His world. You know, God sent John the Baptist into the world, and John was the one that was crying in the wilderness. He was preaching the gospel. He was telling people about Him that was to come after Him, and He was saying, I'm not worthy to bow down and loosen the latches of His shoes. John was telling about Jesus and His preparing of people, and they were He's preaching unto them repentance, and they were getting saved. And then Jesus then takes these people. He calls them out, establishes His church. He organized it on a mountain. He commissioned it to go into all the world to bring us the message. You know, we didn't send for the church. We didn't send for the witnesses that come telling us about Jesus. But God sent them to us. He did all of this. He did all of this because He loved us. Oh, He loved us to the uttermost. He loved us to the uttermost. Jesus commissioned His church in Matthew 18, 19 to 20. He commissioned His church to go into all the world. He said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. And then He tells them to go into all the world. He gives that commission in three things. First, you get them saved. There are people everywhere trying to do everything else but to get them saved. You get them saved first before before baptism. Baptism comes after you're saved, not before. The commission is laid out in three steps. You get them saved, you baptize them, and then you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He said, and lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. And friend, I can tell you that many times preaching the gospel has been a hard thing for me, but the Lord Jesus has been there. He's been with me, and He has blessed me. He has empowered the gospel. And ever so often, I get to hear some lost sinner say, God has saved me. The Lord has saved me. And I too, like a father, I get to rejoice. I get to rejoice. I'm telling you this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm telling you about God the Father, who rejoices in the presence of the angels every time that a lost sinner comes home. Won't you get this message? Won't you see that God loves you? He loved you to the uttermost. He loved you to the uttermost. It's just no wonder. Of all that the Lord began to say and do, that is leading off into a scripture. All that the Lord began to say and do, Luke said, I'll tell you about. Well, it's a wonder. All He began to say and do for us was because He loved us. He said, nothing greater can a man do for a friend than to lay down his life for him. Wouldn't you expect Jesus, who left heaven and all of His glory and all of His splendor, left it all, came here to be a man, suffered in the world. He didn't have where to lay his head. He said, the birds have nests and the fox has hole, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. Left all of heaven, left all of His splendor and glory, came here. Oh, why would you be surprised that there is joy in the presence of angels when a lost sinner comes home, when a lost sinner truly turns to God and repents? Why on earth would anybody be surprised that there'd be rejoicing in the presence of God's holy angels? In Revelations 22 and 17, the Apostle John gives us a scripture, and it is an invitation. It is an invitation that's going out to the lost and dying world today, and it has now for a long time. Revelations 22 and 17, the apostle gives us this. He said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I tell you, the invitation has been going out for a long time now. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus established His church, He sent it into the world, and He's been with it. There have been many, many martyrs that have died and paid a great cost of their life that the gospel could be carried on to others. And I'm thankful today that those old Anabaptists during the Dark Ages, that they stood up and they told people about Jesus, even though that it cost them life. Scholars said as many as 60 million died in 1260 years of the Dark Ages. But those old Anabaptists, I tell you, they loved the Lord because the Lord loved them. And every time one of them died and made it to glory, God rejoiced over that too, I'm sure. And when Stephen was stoned to death, he looked into heaven. Jesus was standing at the Father's right hand. Oh, He's just going to welcome Stephen home. I could just hear Him. Welcome home, my faithful servant. I tell you, there is rejoicing when a sinner comes home to God. And I believe there is great rejoicing when one of God's children makes a safe crossing into that heavenly country. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's going out. This invitation is going out to the world and many have heeded. Many have heard the invitation. Many have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, and many have turned to Him, and many have found relief for their burdened soul. And God rejoiced in heaven that they had come home to Him. I ask you, here John said, the spirit of the bride say come. You know, the bride is the faithful church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He established it in the world, is still in the world today. There is many things out there that is not of the Lord, but I tell you, the Lord's church is still in the world, and they're still sending out the invitation to come, and the Holy Spirit still accompanies His people and the message that they take to a lost and dying world. The invitation is going out. Not only is God still sending out lost sinners this message, but friend, He's still today, when lost sinners repent, He is still rejoicing in heaven over another sinner that has repented. I tell you, God rejoices. Oh, I'm just rejoicing here right now to think about a lost sinner coming home and God's love toward us. There's been many times in my ministry I see poor lost souls bowed on their knees in the altars, and I see their wrinkled face, and I see the turmoil on their face, and they'd be praying mightily, praying for God to save them, and all of a sudden a face that was full of sorrow and tears flowing from their eyes, all of a sudden a smile would come over their face and they'd say, "Oh, God has saved me. I have peace in my soul." What a wonderful thing. I'm rejoicing right here now to think about sinners being saved. And God the Father is rejoicing in heaven every time one of them comes home. Now, lost friend, won't you seek the Lord and make God happy today? Oh, me. Just turn from your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's some things that God wants you to do. God wants you to confess your sins to yourself and to Him. He wants you to realize that you're a sinner. He wants you to be open about that and confess them to yourself and to God. You've got to do that. Until you see yourself as a sinner in your own eyes, you can't truly repent. You can't really truly turn from your sins. You can't really turn to Jesus until you see yourself like that. He wants you to feel guilty. God wants you to feel guilty because you are. You see, He wants you to be honest, and you are guilty. And when you're honest, that pleases God. He wants you to be honest, and you can't draw near to God without being honest. Never can you draw near to God without being honest. He wants you to feel that you're in danger. See, He wants you to know that you need Jesus. And that's a way that you know that you need Jesus. When you know you're in danger of death, when you're in danger of hell, you need Jesus. And He wants you to feel helpless. And friend, I'm telling you, you are helpless. But you've got to know it. You've got to feel it before you can really turn to the Lord and throw yourself on His mercy. And when you can just completely do that, honestly and truly, throw yourself on the mercy of God, I'm telling you right then and there, there'll be rejoicing in the presence of God's angels. Oh, He wants you to feel your helpless condition. He wants you to turn to Christ. He wants you to believe the gospel story. And He wants you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to trust Jesus. There are many out there that are just saying, "Accept Christ." Oh, friend, the Lord has got to accept you. There are many out there that are just saying, repeat this prayer. But friend, you need to pray your own humble prayer. Talk to God. It's the sincere desires of the heart that God looks upon. He doesn't care about the words. It's the heart. Oh, when you're really troubled in heart, when you really feel your sins, when you really feel helpless, and you call on the name of the Lord, I'm telling you, the Lord is going to be there. The Lord is going to hear your prayer, and the Holy Spirit is going to come into your heart. He is going to give you peace to your soul, and God is going to be rejoicing in heaven. I thank you for listening. I hope this day that you will turn to the Lord and find Him and find peace to your soul and make God rejoice. Thank you for listening. May God bless you is my prayer.